Faithful.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria. Info, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you for tuning in to the show this morning, Lagos, Nigeria. How are you doing today? It's Monday, by the way, start of the week, and hopefully we are all up and running today. It's bright and early. And in Lagos, yeah, it's always very hectic on a Monday morning. And yes, the strike by airport workers, definitely a lot of flights will be disrupted today. And that also has affected one of our guests who, you know, had to got his or her flights cancelled like twice already. But she's on her way to the studio right now. Some of our other guests as well will be joining us via the telephone this morning. Okay, so you're most welcome to be a part of our conversation today, Lagos, Nigeria. Let's discuss domestic violence. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about how this issue is right now, the current state of things, you know, that we have in that space. I have Olumide Omoshebi here with me in the studio. Olumide, good morning to you and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Quadri. Good to be here.
Olumide is the ED of Gnosis Help Initiative. I also will be joined later on by Mr. Adebayo Ademola Akinlade. He's a human rights activist, human rights advocate. He's the past chairman, Nigerian Bar Association, the Ikorodu branch. He'll be joining us much later on. Ms. Oluwatoyin Ndidi Ojo will be also be joining us. She is the founder Abuse Against, it says founder Stop the Abuse Against Children and Women Foundation. Ms. Abie Tam George is also joining us. She's human rights advocate, vice president of the Association of Environmental Lawyers of Nigeria. She's also the vice chair of Nigeria Bar Association Lagos chair lady. They will all be joining us as we go along on the show this morning. We're trying to bring them on the show. But currently right now, we have Olumide Omoshebi on the in the studio right now, live with us this morning. So you're most welcome. If you, like I said earlier, if you are a survivor of domestic violence, we'd like to hear from you. So this is what we're talking about for the last 2 hours, for the next 2 hours, rather, from 8 to 10. And that's why we have this very rich panel to have this conversation this morning. According to WHO website, WHO.int, as of 9th of March 2021, we have some current data, you know, that we'll share. But this is a global data now. Estimates they published by WHO indicates that globally about 1 in 3 women worldwide have been subjected to either physical or sexual or even both intimate partner violence or non-partner sexual violence in their lifetime. Now, most of the violence is intimate partner violence. Worldwide, almost one-third, 27% of women aged between 15 and 49 who have been in a relationship report that they have been subjected to some form of physical and or sexual violence by their intimate partner. The UN defines violence against women as any act of gender-based violence that results in or is likely to result in physical, sexual, or mental harm or suffering of women, including threats of such acts, coercion or arbitrary deprivation of liberty, whether occurring in public or in private life. As long as it's occurring, it doesn't matter whether it's public or private, this will be termed violence against persons. Olumide, let's start. Let me begin with you as we expect our other guests. Could you please share more recent data as to what's the situation now when we talk about domestic violence?
Good morning again, Sharif. Good morning, everyone. I think it would be very correct to say that the latest pandemic in Nigeria is domestic violence. The audacity, the intensity. By the 21st of March, we had lost 36 women. That we know. And these are some that, you know, otherwise would have been, you know, there were some that before we even got to the hospital, they had quickly buried the body. They don't want, and, you know, several things that you don't even know every other day, especially when you're talking about Ajegunle, you're talking about Alimosho local government, you're talking about Ikorodu. These places, Koshofe local government, those four places are maximum casualty areas. There is no hospital you will go to that then you are coming down to Aja Axis. It's a terrible pandemic. It is terrible. at least this first quarter, we've lost over 100 people to domestic violence and abuse in Nigeria.
Over 100?
Over 100 this first quarter. That is between January and March.
Wow. Now, what's been level of awareness? I was thinking that we've moved on. I was thinking that we now have massive awareness amongst the population. I was thinking that we now have even increased awareness amongst the law enforcers themselves. So I wasn't expecting such a huge number.
I said earlier the year that domestic violence is fighting back. You know, when you are fighting against and it is fighting back, it is seriously fighting back. And the problem we have, for example, by the 21st of March, we had lost 36. Of the 36, 18 had left before but came back. They came back due to family pressure, number one, due to religious pressure, number two. And you find out that now 21 out of those 36 had reported to the police. But the police will send them back and say it is a family matter. That is the latest thing. It is a family matter. We had one who was bleeding in the DPO's office. And the DPO said that they should...
Hold on, Mr. Abiye, we'll come to you.
The DPO said that, you know, your husband was just upset.
Oh, wow.
You understand. You have government aided... By government, I meant the arm of government called law enforcement. You have some people reporting to FSUs and you say, so you want to take your husband to, you want to send your husband to prison.
FSU is family support unit.
Family support unit. Yeah. You have, so there is nowhere to go. And then society would now break down, you know, you have a right to self-defense. When family can't help you, your family says, in our lineage, nobody has left, there's been no divorce, so you have to go back. Your church can't support you, they'll say, ah, God hates divorce, go back. Then you go to the police says it is a family matter. Then what do you have? Your own self. You have a right to self-defense. So when all of us now start defending ourselves, then you would see another pandemic called your right to live. That is, you can kill under self-defense. That is what the society is tending towards. When there is no, you go to government agencies, people go to DSVA, people go to the Ministry of Justice. The length of time it takes to even attend to a matter, that is, if your matter is attended to at all, has already, I mean, to even get a protection order, it took DSVA themselves 1 year to get a protection order. That is a government agency themselves. You take the matter
1 year.
1 year to get a protection order. I mean, how would the person be alive, Seth, in 1 year? You go and say, okay, you want an emergency care order because now there's another pandemic I will discuss later called child abduction. Spouses are now taking children to settle scores, you know. You would just get home, you see that this one has left and taken the children. And you go, you tell the police will say, your father cannot kidnap his son. And that is how we have people who have not seen their children in almost 4, 5, 7, 8 years. Because somebody just got angry, took the child and swore you will never see your child again. You know, law is just, law and order has just broken down. The domestic violence and abuse has gotten to another level that if the government does not intervene, if the police will not stop treating matters as family matter, the society is bound to fail.
Who are victims then? Who can victims approach for help? Because that's where my thinking is going now. If they can't go to the authorities to report and get reprieved, or at least get some semblance of hope that their matter will be resolved in 1 year to get protection. I mean, so what's now left for the victims to do?
Family court sits once a week. Can you imagine that? Family court sits once a week, in some jurisdictions twice a week. Meanwhile, 40% of the cases are family cases, cases of domestic violence and abuse, cases of child abduction, cases of custody of children. And just once a week, You know, I had that matter when I filed for, when my son was in danger, and I filed for custody. It took me 2 years and 6 months. By the time I got my son, he had fully gotten ulcer, astigmatism, and a skin, it was a skin disease or skin. I spent almost 300,000. What I was fighting against 2 years, 6 months, what if he had died? Because he was locked up in one room. You know, I don't even understand. And I am a lawyer. So will you, can you continue paying for 2 years, 6 months, a lawyer? Which person would stay in court that long? I would not look for other means. Who would? Can do you know how can you fund 2 years and 6 months? I went through 3 lawyers, that is including myself.
Yeah, because you're one. You're
because
a lawyer.
I'm one. Two of my lawyers, they just, you know, they just couldn't continue. I had to now take over my own case because I thought, okay, let me not represent myself. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, this is troubling, really. Let's try and bring in one of our other panelists here. We got Mrs. Abier the other time, but let's try and bring them in as soon as we can. We'll bring them in, but we're having some technical issues here. That's why I'm trying to reach out from the studio here. Usually, I shouldn't be reaching out from the studio here, but the other screening room is. It's experiencing some whatever it is experiencing. Hopefully it'll be sorted out. Then we can get all our panelists in the studio. Olumide, I'm going to come to you before I go back to the telephone lines to go and, you know, get, you know, because this before we leave this aspect of our conversation, we also need to hear, you know, from victims, like their experiences trying to get authorities involved in their cases, so that way we can connect what we're saying here to real
reality,
life, actualities, realities on ground. Yeah, we'll come to that. But the last area that I wanted us to talk about in as regards this aspect, you know, of cases being handled and cases not being handled is, you have talked about 1 week that the family court sits in Lagos.
1 day.
One day.
Yes.
You have also talked about, you know, how police authorities, you know, what impact have all of these, what impacts have they had on domestic violence?
The first thing here is that I tell people that some couples were not to marry in the first place. So when problems start at home and you cannot, you tell your people, they tell you, you cannot leave. He beats you, the neighbors raise an alarm, they call the police. The police says, it's a family matter, you need a court order. Then you tell your pastors, your clerics, your imams, and they tell you that, you know, Christians will say God hates divorce. So spiritually, you cannot go anywhere. Physically, you cannot go anywhere. And according to your Lord, your policeman, legally, you cannot go anywhere. What do you think will happen? Then the person gets depressed. Last year, a woman walked into an oncoming truck in Ikorodu Road, mentioning her son's name and her husband's name. People were trying to save her. She just kept walking. Several occasions, people have been brought from the psychiatric hospital to my office. That is, their marriage made them lose their mind. Now you have people dying before their time due to high blood pressure. Some people can no longer keep food down. The moment they eat, they stool. The loss of appetite, migraines. Then people break down and then become violent. We have someone who just woke up, went to the kitchen, the husband opened his eyes and just saw her with a knife and she stabbed him straight because she says she couldn't take it anymore. You know, when exactly? We have, last year, there were 63 deaths in less than a month.
63 deaths.
63, that was the first quarter of last, and I always talk about the month of March, which is the worst. It just determines, I don't know for what reason, but the month of March determines the curve of abuse in the year. 1st of March, a carpenter hit a woman, the wife with a padlock on the head because they were arguing over who owned the house. By the time, you know, she saw she was going to die, she quickly made a voice note and sent to the family that this is what the husband did. If anything happens to me, hold him. 2nd of March, a man, honing, grabbed his wife on the neck, saying she did not open the gate on time. She made him wait, and the woman was 7 months pregnant. Strangled her right there at the gate. You know, the audacity. The audacity. One of our listeners, my program, died because the husband wanted to check her account balance on her phone, and she refused. The woman we had been telling to leave, we had donated money for her to leave. So I think the husband...
On the program?
Yes, now. I think the husband got to know that money had entered. And usually he collects a salary. And then he said, let me see. And she refused. Right there, he beat her up. And when she was trying to run, there was an electric cable around. He grabbed it and tied around her neck. Oh. In the ensuing struggle, she was choked to death. Oh. This was a woman that had already reported.
That you were already planning to help.
That everybody had come together to help. She had already reported, but it was told it is a family matter. So we lost her as well last year. You know, Osinachi's case, who had left. But the church insisted that she came back. She had left for 1 year, 3 months. And I was also one of the lawyers invited to the matter. In fact, Mrs. Oluwatoyin Didi was one of the, she would join us, one of our guests today, was also the lawyer in Osinachi's case. It was just terrible because these people already left. These people already reported. But the authorities would drop a blind eye. You would have, I was in the police station, and the officer in charge was saying, any woman, where man beat, man, that woman must be witch. She must get problem. Man no go just beat. Then you have men also coming ahead, because it is not just women. No. On the 2nd of March, a girlfriend burnt her boyfriend alive in his room, locked him and, you know, had poured petrol, roasted him alive in his own room. So now you find out that the effect that you have asked for is that children are the primary victims. Now, it has started moving from husband, wife down to children. You come, we go on an awareness program to secondary schools, and you already find JSS 2 students being abusive. You already have, we went to a school where a JSS 2 girl had already given birth for her uncle.
Excuse me.
Yes, JSS 2. She was 13. Her uncle came to clear some goods in Lagos State, and in his own brother's house, had taken the daughter, that is his own niece. And when she got pregnant, and you know, the Ashiri Tood, that is, it became, the brother said, is a family problem. Your own daughter got pregnant by your own brother, and they covered it up. So this girl is in GSS now, GSS 3, with a child of her own in her father's house that they now say it is the last born of the father. You understand, how can that be? If I know, the authorities knew, but nothing was done because nobody pressed charges.
Olumide, hold your thought. I mean, we have a lot of grounds to cover this morning. Well, Lagos, we're going to head out. Let's take this break. When we return, we'll talk some more. As a matter of fact, we'll hear your own experience in trying to get justice if you've been a victim of domestic violence before. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Lagos, good morning to you. Once again, if you're just tuning in, you're welcome to the show. It's going to be, I wouldn't say a long morning, because I have, some of my panelists are still on their way to the studio. I have Olumide here. It's just been a morning of I don't know what to call it, but whatever it takes, we're going to we're going to do something because I have to have this panel together in the studio at some point so we can have this conversation. And I also need to add that, you see, the conversation that we usually have off air, I don't know what to call it. I've told Tunde that we have to find a way to, you know, bring that conversation off air to life, and we have to do that some way. Olumide, thank you for joining us again. Let me quickly welcome our guests who are joining via the telephone this morning because of circumstances beyond their control. Ms. Adebayo Ademola Akinlade, human rights advocate, past chairman, Nigerian Bar Association, Ikorodu branch. Ms. Adebayo, good morning to you and thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. Good morning, Björn. I apologize for my absence.
We understand. Ms. Oluwatoyin is also here via the telephone. Oluwatoyin Didiojo, founder, Stop the Abuse Against Children and Women Foundation. Ms. Oluwatoyin, thank you for joining us. Ms. Oluwatoyin, are you here? I know that you are here. I can see you here. Can you hear me, Ms. Oluwatoyin? I think she can't hear me. But that's fine. That's fine. We're gonna try and get her back on the line. Okay, please try and get her back on the line. Before I go to Mr. Bayo, Olumide, we're going to open up the telephone lines to get reactions from people, you know, about what their experiences have been like while trying to get justice or trying to get reprieve from their abusers for their situation. Let's hear one or two or three calls and hear people's story. Then I will bring Ms. Adebayo on the line. 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. You're very free to remain anonymous. If you want to be anonymous, we appreciate and we would give that opportunity for anyone who'd like to share, you know, their story as well. But please bear in mind that we would love for you to be very brief and straight to the point. Thank you for understanding. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello?
We can hear you. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
We can hear you. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Sean calling from the station.
Welcome, Sean. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. We can hear you. Please go on.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Somebody just told me to tune into the station now that there is a discussion going on.
Okay.
And I would like to share my own experience.
Please go on.
Hello?
Please go on. We're listening to you. Please go on.
Hello?
Please go on. We can hear you.
Yeah. On the issue of this domestic abuse.
Yeah.
I have issues with my husband. I took the matter to the Lagos Ministry of Justice and Sexual Abuse. And they invited him. We had an agreement. We both signed. And at the end of the month, he did not respond. I called back. As in, I called the justice back. And they told me they are going to get back. I'm telling you, see, now, nothing has been done. And this, I think this is not I'm not exposed. Person that would be complaining this because the day I went there, I met some other people like that.
Okay.
They are complaining that they said they are going to take the matter up and so now they did not take it up.
Okay. Okay. All
right. So what is our fate when Lagos State says this organization is meant to help us out? And the people working there are not helping us out.
I mean, that's a very valid question. Thank you. Olumide would chime in on that, but let's take this call first. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning to you.
This is Pastor Lado for calling from Orilegon.
Do you have a story?
Yes, the story I have is this. I had someone that is, was my teaching. And then when I tried to intervene, I was seriously restricted. Even when we got to the police station, the reaction was not palatable. I have to step back. Though I was accused of trying to be the one to scatter a marriage. Yeah. And I told the people, this is a domestic violence you can see. That even how the young man is exhibiting it in the presence of everybody. So in this case, what do we do? Mm. What should I do? Mm. Thank you.
Thank you too. Let's take one more. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Sharif, good morning.
Good morning. We can hear you.
Yeah, I'm happy to really to reach out to you this morning. This is my first time calling.
It's good to have you.
I want to remain anonymous.
That's fine.
Okay, so I'm happy this morning because at least I can listen to Mr. Olumide. I've always been listening to him on Saturdays. Then I want to share my experience. I was involved in domestic violence. That was about 10 years ago when I got married. You know, what I noticed was, I noticed this kind of family, and ladies need to really open their ears right now to hear me. The moment the family comes, maybe a guy comes and the mother is coming, the families are coming, they are coming saying they want to marry you, we like you. They should not even fall for it. In most cases, those guys are not even nice. It's like they have one mental issue or the other. But because they want to package them for you and they want them to just get married and give them children, they will not be very nice to you. I think that was the case that I was involved in. So before you knew it, in 6 months, I had already gotten married. After that time, the beating started. And the whole family was like, hey, it's not something new. You manage him. You do this. But I was, you know, when you are really strong, I'm a very, very strong person. I was just like, this is not my destiny. I walked, in fact, I ran away. But it was easier for me because I had a job. I'm not a lazy person. So I already know, I know my onions. I know what I want in life. I did not even speak to anybody. In fact, my family members were not aware. I just ran to a new place. I rented a house. I took my child. My daughter was about 40 days old when I carried her out of that place. Nobody knew. Until I resumed back to work, the daughter threatening me, saying, I want to take me to the court. Okay, no problem. Take me to court. But they now took me to, public defender's office, okay. Saying, I want to take the child. But I was like, no, it's not possible. All the things I'm saying, I had to even put more spiritual into it. I was really praying, going for pastor and pastor. They will not even remember me. At that time, because the guy was actually not responsible, so they were not at the point, okay, pay 15,000 now for feeding. He could not even do anything. And the family could not keep up with that. So, you know, because I had my own ways and I had a job to take care of my child.
Right.
So after 2 years, I filed for, divorce. But I knew they were going to give me problems. I was very smart about that. I didn't send the letter to their family. I sent it to the house where me and him was living before I ran away. So he was not living there anymore because he doesn't even have money to even pay the house rent. So he was already sent out of the house.
Okay.
So it was easier for me. And before you know it, in about how many years, I got my divorce papers. I had my custody of my child. In fact, I've already been married. But I'm happy today. So women should, even all these women saying they want to die, they should go and have a good, when they have a job and they have things they are doing,
yeah.
They want to stand firm when that issue comes.
Hmm.
So thank you. That's what thank I want
you.
To share today.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We appreciate that. Let me take this call. After this call, we'll go to Mr. Bayo to get his thoughts. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, good morning to you. We can hear you.
Yeah, good morning. This is Ezuka on the line.
Welcome.
Calling you from Ojun.
Welcome.
Yeah, I love the topic. This is a very interesting topic. A very nice one. So, but what I'm interested in is solution. I would like the analysts in the house to let us know this. Solution
Sorry.
To this, excuse me.
Sorry.
Because when we analyze issues, we talk about issues, we should be able to know the solution, how to go about the solution. Because from the way it is, our government are doing nothing or less about this issue, and it's a very, very delicate issue.
Yes, it is.
So to me, I'm still online and listening.
Please do.
So that
stay
we can
online.
Get ways to tackle this issue.
Definitely. We'll get to the solution part, okay? Thank you. Thank you, my friend, for calling me. Let me come to you, Mr. Bayo. Thank you again for joining us on the show this morning. We appreciate your time. But let's get your thoughts on how domestic violence has grown to be that monster that nobody barely wants to talk about. It's almost like everybody always finds excuse and one reason after another reason to just allow it fester. What's your thought on that? Is it that the society has failed to call it what it is? The society is trying to protect something that you, me, we don't know, we don't understand. The authority themselves, have they placed premium, in your opinion, have they placed premium on protecting the rights of the victims when it comes to domestic violence?
Let's look at it from an historical background, or even from how we all grew up in a family. There has been domestic violence ever since. I mean, brothers fighting sisters, brothers fighting brothers, husbands fighting wives. I mean, it's all in our family. It happens. We grew up with violence around us in our homes, in our schools. So when you look at it, everyone is affected by this. Now, what the law is done is that now paying more attention to it because of the increase in the rate at which people have gone to violence at home. And this violence leads to a more serious physical and mental degradation. In terms of, when I say physical, people are actually getting hurt in the homes, killed even in the homes. And the psychological effect too are overreaching when it comes to communal living or even in government or in leadership. So it is now very important that we talk about it and we try to stem the tide of domestic violence, because it you have a situation where people saying it's normal. That if your husband doesn't beat you, then he doesn't love you. Or if there's no physical assault within the house, then that means there's a problem. You see, people are beginning to
normalize
something
abuse.
Negative, to mean it's a positive. I wouldn't say that beating my wife is an expression of love. Or beating your husband is an expression of love. Or because you beat your children, that means you love them. Okay, so we have a lot of issues that we're trying to deal with. And with the age of a global civilization, where through phones, we are watching more movies now. We're seeing so many news from different countries. We have access to it on our phones. So people are beginning to be aware of the situation around them. And this is a very touchy issue because most people still do not believe that violence in the home is anything more than just discipline, or it's nothing more than just this is how I want my home to be like.
Right.
I think we've crossed that stage now where any kind of violence that leads to somebody being incapacitated or injured is a dangerous situation to be in.
Olumide, is it possible for someone who is not violent to be lured into it in the case of domestic violence?
Yes. We have seen people's character change because of the environment that they have been subjected to. At 100 degrees, water will become vapor. It just depends on temperature and pressure. So we have seen people that are quiet all of a sudden becoming abusive with words. We've seen men that could, under normal, till their marriage, they were pristine. But suddenly, the kind of provocation, I brought someone to the studio one time that the wife went to boil water. And while he was talking to the children, in front of the children, poured hot water on him. He had to go through skin grafting. I brought him here on the, to this studio, you understand. And he was told that it was an accident. In fact, he was escorted back to the marriage. You know that, you know, where people, where madness seem to be normalized, you will become mad. Yes.
Is it also, I mean, when we talk about, generally, when we talk about domestic violence, you know, people seem to think that it's only women that are victims in case of domestic violence.
You see, it is a human problem, not a woman problem, both men and women. At least this year, we've lost, according to our records, 5 men.
Mm.
Yes, 5 men. The thing is that women are more. Women are more. They have been the traditional victims of domestic violence. So women are more.
How about institutions and the way they handle these things?
The worst institution is the family, followed by the religious institution. They're now institutionalized by our government agencies. First, you would find in our culture, you telling your daughter that she cannot come home, as they, you are going to your husband's house, your room in your father's house is permanently closed. It's telling her indirectly that whatever happens to you, don't come back home. Then you come home with a swollen eye, and they now call the husband and are begging the husband that please next time find for a crime. You find family members pleading. Can I even tell you something? Last year I was called by, I spoke at a Redeemed church, so the pastor's wife called me some months after and said there's something crazy. She has never seen this, but I said, what happened? A gentleman had beaten his wife, and while she wanted to run, there was a TV hanging over, but you know, so he threw the flat screen at her, hit her, and she passed out. So he started kicking and saying that you are pretending to be unconscious. So he goes to the kitchen and brings out a turning spoon, omorogun, opens her leg and shoves it right in. The scream, the neighbors came in, rushed her to the hospital. It happened in Ajegunle. Rushed her to the hospital. The doctor brought it out. She now used a tube right there because, of course, her internals had been damaged or torn. So she was urinating through a tube. So when they called me and sent the pictures, my head spun. Immediately, I went to the state CID. Immediately, we had the gentleman arrested. Immediately, he was transferred to the state CID. Guess who came to me to release the boy? The father of the wife.
No way.
Came to me to release the husband.
Wait a minute, please hold on. Mr. Adebayo, please hold on. We need to jet out now for a quick break. We'll be back after the news. Lagos, stay with us on The Crossfire.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Get people who've been victims or people, I mean, you could be direct victim or indirect victim. Let's say that you're a survivor, then you are a direct victim. Let's say that you've witnessed domestic violence before. Maybe you are a child, a daughter, a son, a nephew, a niece who has seen first-hand domestic violence. You are an indirect victim of domestic violence as well. So we'd like to hear from you on how this has impacted you. Olumide is still here. Mr. Adebayo is still over the telephone. But before I go to Mr. Adebayo, let's wrap this up with the story that you were telling about the young man and the lady.
Okay, yes. And the father of the bride and the mother of the bride now come to my office to tell me that they don't want to push a case, that I should forgive him, that Modelonshe, that he won't do it again. And the man was standing there. I asked him, I said, why did you do it? He said, Inolobimi, that is, I was angry. That word, then I said, no way. So we had him locked up, and they were going to charge, and they kept coming. Then the girl now came to change her story that it wasn't as if she was. My point is family pressure. Can you imagine that marriage was more important to the parents? And then and now said, okay, you are married. The marriage certificate, they were not married. The girl just got pregnant. She was 22 and the guy was 27. The guy was a mechanic. You know, he is a mechanic. So they were not even married. The father said, you got pregnant. And she said, yeah, go and meet the person that got you pregnant. And look at the treatment. The family, number one, is the problem. So in cases of domestic violence and abuse, I tell you not to listen to family. Because you are the one going through it. Second, the institution. Earlier this year, a gentleman called me.
Yeah.
And he sent me a screenshot. The wife was hitting him and then screaming that he is beating
her.
So, you know, he recorded.
She
was the one hitting him and screaming, you go kill me today. You know, and said, this is what he cannot go to. I said, why have you been keeping quiet? I said, go and report at the police station, then call me back. He now calls me back and he said he got to the police station and he reported on the desk. And the officer said he should wait. The next thing he heard, that the female officer ran in and said, make una come see man way in wife they beat for house.
Oh my word.
So other policemen came and he now said to him, okay, you talk, say your wife they beat you. Say, but you know, be man, you know. And he looked at her and said, so.
He instantly became the object of ridicule.
And that is what happens to men. When you come out to say, people say, are you not a man? So is it until the man kills the woman that you will know he's a man?
What did he then do?
He came back and told me, whatever happens, happens. And sorry for disturbing me. He cut the phone.
Oh, my word.
So now you can't go to family. You can't go to the police. You see, police officers, you basically have no training in domestic violence and abuse. Another one that happened around Suri Liri, the man beat the wife. The woman ran out in her pajamas, tall, beautiful. And when it was at night, when the policemen came and they were angry, the DPO came in and said, what is this? He now told the DPO. The DPO said, let them go and bring the man. The man came. And the man now talked to the DPO privately. He said, she doesn't allow me to touch her. You know, when last we had sexual relations, then the DPO now called. He said, I heard say, you know, they let your husband touch you. Before you write this statement, go back home. Go and sleep with him. Then come back and write.
Oh,
I know that.
My word.
That go and sleep with him first. Then come back and write. The woman said, I beg your pardon. That was what a DPO said. I said she should record it. She called him back. That are you telling me? He said, madam, follow your husband. So where does she go to next time? You think she would not rather hold a knife? This is the problem. Instead, then you go to the Ministry of Justice, OPD. You know, you even have people in OPD giving victims my own number to call. You know, I'm not paid to do this. You understand? I do it free of charge.
Why are they giving victims your number?
People call me from government institutions that somebody just gave me. Because, first of all, a lot of people, they're admin officers. You go to Ministry of Justice, you go to Women Affairs, you go to. And there is no. You just see people that have been coming every day, still sitting down. It's like a Holy Ghost conference, like you're having a church program. Full of people that have been coming for years with nothing. So the law cannot help. The law is not helping. You go to family court or cases that, you know, child support. Child support is a crime. Is a crime abroad. So you can go to jail for it. Here it isn't.
It is not a crime.
They will be begging. You would see where the court has ruled. You have a judgment that a man should be paying a certain amount. And the man will blatantly refuse.
Just like the caller, the caller said.
Will not do anything. And then it will now be. So women should even get a job. Let us even leave that. Men should also. But where do you now go to, Oga Sheriff?
Let me see if Mr. Adebayo can. He's a human rights advocate. And he's also been doing this for quite some time. I mean, Mr. Adebayo, you've heard what Olumide said about the institution. Rather than helping, it's doing another thing entirely. What's been your experience?
Well, it is quite right in terms of we
have very little government support, organized agencies, crime agencies actually doing much about this. For us as lawyers, what we did in the Bar Association was noting that Ikorodu had the second highest rate of domestic violence incidents. What we simply did was get a couple of lawyers together who were actually interested in making a change, in helping victims. And we put that committee together. And what we have now is that for the last 4 years, we've had a committee of lawyers in the High Court in Ikorodu. They come together once every week on a Tuesday.
Okay.
And we attend to victims of domestic violence. So where the police cannot help, where the Ministry of Women Affairs cannot help, where the courts themselves cannot help, we have about 7 to 15 lawyers always available at the court premises to listen to complaints and to actually attend to complaints by summoning the perpetrator or and the victim to come together and state their case. And what we often achieve is that because we are lawyers, the perpetrator is more afraid of us than they are of the police. They can easily bribe the police, for instance. But when they come in contact or when their cases have been reported to us, or the husband or the wife has reported to us, they usually just listen, and we try and settle some of them, and others we can't settle. Unfortunately, we have to refer back to the police to even prosecute. So we need to do more, and I'm thankful to people like Olumide who keep talking about it, who keep educating the public about it. And I think this is very effective. The more we talk about it, the more we expose this kind of crime that is happening within the four walls of a home, the less people that would engage in such crime, thinking that it's a normal thing. It is not normal.
Ms. Adebayo, let me talk to you some more about that committee of lawyers that you have set up in Ikorodu. Talk to me. Have there been any conviction ever since the committee was put together? What's the progress like with that committee? Because when you said, when you mentioned that Ikorodu was the highest, second highest when it went in terms of domestic violence record in Lagos, that took me to some another level entirely, because I'm seeing all these very gory, nasty picture of victims, you know, there in Ikorodu. What's in terms of numbers, what can you tell us?
Well, the committee was not set up to convict or to prosecute or to get convictions.
Okay.
The committee was set up to deter. It's just to let the community of Ikorodu know that, come, we are a body of lawyers organized. You know, the Bar Association is organized to stand against domestic violence.
Right, right.
Saying that, I mean, we've gone for outreaches to the marketplaces, to the traditional rulers, to even the police stations. We've gone everywhere on outreaches, you know, and we tell them, we know that this is happening, but it has to stop.
Yeah.
And any case that comes before, the first thing the committee tries to do is to reconcile the parties, especially if, you know, in a marriage situation, situation is quite very distinct from any other kind of relationship within the home. So what we try to do is get to the bottom of it and try to resolve and make sure it doesn't happen again. So that's the primary purpose. Now, the committee goes ahead, like I said, in cases that are extreme, they go ahead to lay a complaint formally on behalf of the victim at the police station. Now, what this does is that the police cannot bury it. The police cannot, like Olumide said, the police cannot undermine, you know, the pain of the victim by sending the victim back.
Okay.
So when a woman comes, for instance, or a child is involved, or a man comes to tell us, we go as the complainant to meet the police and say, look, we want this case investigated, and if there has to be an arrest, that arrest must be made
Right.
If they need to go to court, we will follow you up to that level.
Right.
So that is what we actually do in Ikorodu.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Adebayo. Please stay on the line. We still have a lot to talk about. Let me take some messages. We have one of our guests here on the show already. She finally made it to the studio. Let's bring her up very quickly. Ms. Abie is here. Ms. Abie, good morning to you. Thank you for making it here, despite all of the challenges on your way here. Thank you for coming through.
Yeah, I'm so happy I'm here. this is so important for me.
Yeah?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for making it down. Let's quickly take some messages, then I will come to you for our conversation this morning. This person says, I have a woman whose husband once macheted her head. He beat her at the slightest provocation. Whenever she moves out of the house into her father's house, he comes to her father's house to come pick the children. And after a few months, she returns to him and the maltreatment still doesn't stop. She's in her late father's house now and the man has come for his children. The main issue here is that this man has not paid her bride price. Yet, can this woman take the man to court not to come near her? Nor the children, because he's not even responsible for their feeding and livelihood. She should she go to the police station and make them take him to court? So, did you get that?
Yes, like he's wondering.
They are not married. Does he have the right to the children?
It is. There is, even if they are not married, they are the children, Abby.
Yeah.
There's assault there. If you cannot, it's assault, battery. You take children, and I don't even know, is it child abduction? Because ordinarily minors are to be with their mother in cases. But where there is violence, it is a crime. Whether you are married or not, whether you are, it is a crime. According to the criminal code, you assault a man is 3 years. You assault a woman, it is 2 years. It is a crime. So it's not even a question.
Ms. Abie, let me come to you very quickly. After you would go on a break. Domestic violence. What's your assessment of our struggle with domestic violence in Nigeria?
Yeah, our struggle is at the current position very disturbing. It's like we've turned the hands of the clock back at the moment. I know that 3-4 years ago, you know, there is this popular reawakening of the fact that in Lagos State, domestic violence, child abuse, I mean, it is pursued vigorously. But that's not the feedback we have. As a matter of fact, in the month of March alone, we've had 30 deaths, over 30 deaths.
Over 30 in March alone?
Yes, in March alone. And even the statistics from the government agency, that is the Domestic Sexual Violence Agency, their own statistics shows that there is an astronomical increase of what has happened when it comes to deaths, domestic violence, child abuse, and all of those vices that comes along with it. So it's very painful, to say the least, because a lot of these victims are most times helpless. They are most times, they become illogical. They become psychologically traumatized to the extent that they will need people around them to help them. But that's not what we see. Both from government, from the communities, wherever they find themselves, it is difficult to find help. And I think that it is because of our cultural practices, where if a woman is heard to complain, it means that she's not woman enough to bear certain things. And so it's turned around to...
She's supposed to tolerate. She's,
yes, supposed to tolerate and
adapt to whatever situation she finds herself.
Beautiful. So I think that we need to really go back to our roots and question some of these practices that have encouraged all of these things.
Who taught us that? Who taught us to be able to accommodate those things? Yeah. Who, Where did it start from?
I mean,
from?
It's just about a patriarchal system, right? Growing up, you're being asked to be a man, and a woman should be a woman. And so we have seen all of these practices as our custom. Okay? So for the woman, you don't have a voice. You don't need to have a voice. That's what you're told repeatedly. You don't need to cry for pain. You need to endure that pain. The man is always right. Okay? So all of these, you know, different traditions, customs that we have imbibed over the years and actually reduced the impact of even our laws that are not fully implemented.
Because that's where that's where I'm going with you, Mrs. Abie, and that is the law, implementation of the law.
Yeah.
What's been your assessment of that?
So largely in my interaction on being on the field and trying to do all of this, what I notice is that a lot of this personnel, from government to the police, even in our courtrooms, we need to do a lot of educating all of these folks. They need training and retraining. Because the way that you perceive something is very important. So, and your knowledge base as to how to intervene in those cases is also very important. And so if I'm in court and I'm talking about child abuse, and I have an instance where a father has reported numerous times that his 4-year-old or 6-year-old have been sexually assaulted several times, there is something wrong about that. And if that is in court, the court should bother more about the fact of negligence, about the fact of a responsibility on the part of that parent for that to happen to those children. So if the court is not questioning that aspect, then training has to happen.
But could it also be, Ms. Abie, the fact that the system itself is not even prepared for that conversation? Because if you blame the parent for negligence or act of irresponsibility, where are you going to take the child? Do we have a functioning welfare system where you can, you know, such a child can be brought into the system and then given out to foster homes? Do we have such a structure?
We do have. But like you said, are they effective? Are they properly manned? Do they have the right infrastructures? So that's where it is missing. It's not there at all. And so sometimes, even when the government wants to act, they delay acting or they don't act at all because they know that those homes are not functional, they are not effective, and they cannot meet up without protection requirement.
So the victim, the child needs. The victim now, the child, is left to whatever happens to him or her.
That's what it is.
Sheriff, can I interject?
Yeah.
Sorry, Madam Abie. I have an ongoing court case. The woman was adulterous. So the man, being a medical personnel, was told that he should come home at a certain time. That the wife, in the shop he opened for her, there was a man that would come and do, she would cook, she would do all that. So he came on and expectedly and met the gentleman. A little squabble, the man begged, and he left. 2 weeks later, the wife moved out of the house and moved in with that gentleman. And then took the children. Now, about 2 years later, the child contacts the father that the man is sexually molesting her, that is, the daughter.
Oh, my.
And that told the mother keeps beating her, that you want to spoil my marriage with this. So we took up the case eventually because the girl now contracted an STD. And of course, custody went to Gender Ikeja, the custody went to the man, and you know, the case was ongoing. The woman was also arrested, the man was charged, the man was pleading. In fact, the man brought 2 million naira pleading because all the evidences are there. Can you believe that while this man went to work, this woman found out where he now lives and came to kidnap the children that are the principal witnesses against the man? Do you understand? They are now with her while the court case is going on. So we went back to the police that come. So happened. In fact, we reported to various government officials. Do you know nobody has made one move? Knowing that the woman could intimidate these children to change their testimony. Mm-hmm. It has also been brought to the notice of the court. Still, till
nothing.
And this is going to 4 months. How would you, in that kind of situation, minors?
Institutional failure, Mrs. Abie.
Very well.
How can the police hear that and not act? That the very people, and then the man calls me last week, that somebody said that they've released the man. I said, how?
Oh.
I said, go and check out very well. He called, he said, sir, the person that called me is even shouting that we should go and bring the police because they saw him. So what case are we to, is that to encourage us? Is that to, the case is as good as done for. While the children are now still living with the abuser, the mother, how do you want this case to actually go on?
Wait a minute, Ms. Zabie. Let's take a break. We need to go off. Let's take this short break. When we return, we would talk some more. Lagos, we're not done yet. Destination 10 a.m. Stay with us. We'll be back.
More news and information coming up. We'll be back in a moment.
Might have happened some years ago, but how are they living with it? Do they even realize that they're living with it? Are there signs that they're seeing now that they're wondering where did they get this from? You can call us 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Those are our telephone lines. Please turn off your radio when you're calling. And I would implore you to also go straight to the point once you are able to speak with us, okay? Thank you for understanding. Good morning to you.
Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well done. Please, can I remain anonymous?
That's okay.
Okay. Please, the topic you are treating this morning is very, very good. Mm. From my own personal experience, it starts all from parenting. I'm a listener of Relationship 360, the one that Barrister Olumide does every Saturday.
Right.
So from there, when I was growing up, we are used to this abuse of a thing from our parents, especially from our father.
Mm-hmm.
We beat our mother, we beat all the children. You get it? So from my own, the thing that happened to me when I was 14 years old, my father beat me one day and he was trying to pull off my clothes. Want to naked me. So he has successfully remove all my clothes, turn all my clothes. You know, I was struggling hard. Despite that, he's a man. He's my father. He's successful. Tear all my clothes. So at the point of running out, I just tore the curtain at the front of our door. So I quickly tied it and I ran out to a neighbor's house. So the neighbor is the neighbor that now gives me a talk. When I wear the top, are you with me?
I'm with you. Loudly, we can hear you.
When I wear the top, I now went to police station that I want to go and... It's not that I want to go and report, but from school, you know, they used to tell us anything that happened. Police is our friend. They are like family. They are there to help us, whatever. So I ran there to the police station. That is my father. They should follow me to come and beg. That is what the language I even used then. That they should come and help me to beg my father. He's my father. So immediately all the police people came out. They started abusing me. Omo buruku, omo shi. Oti saku onle, oti ni boyfriend. Ko fe lo si school, ko fe gbo. You get it. So I was ashamed. I don't have a chance. I have to go back.
Oh.
So I was now hanging around the neighborhood. So later in the night, some... Edda came out to come and beg for me, sir, that my father should allow me to enter. So that is how the man live his own life throughout. So at the point when I was almost like 18 years old, so I don't have choice. I have to run away from the house.
Oh.
Because by then, all my Edda ones, they have already lived.
They've left the house.
The people that are pregnant, they have gone. So I have to run away from the... I went to live with one auntie that I know to be my school mother when I was in school. So, you know, living with somebody, you know the kind of treatment you will get. But notwithstanding, that is how I rubbed the weather all through my life. My father, his family said he died at the age of 100 years. But what I want to point out that as at when he was dying, He was calling me, begging me, saying that my spirit is pursuing him, my spirit is flogging him. That's what he said throughout before he passed on. So that's why I used to tell Barrister Olumide that this thing starts from parenting. Parenting. In fact, I beg Nigeria Info, you should have a means to help parents how to cater for children properly. And even the teenagers too, they should have a maybe during a long vacation, call them together, talk to them, approach them. If they are not free at home, at least they should see somebody outside that can help.
And they can talk to.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Anonymous. Thank you so much for your thoughts. Let me jump on this. I'll come to you, Ms. Abiy, now. Good morning to you. Good morning to you, caller.
Hello.
Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
I want to be anonymous.
That's okay.
Oh, yes, I heard the talk about domestic violence and the effect. And I want to say in my own case, it affected not just me, but... from what I've even seen, every member of the family, in their own respective marriages, has one way or the other been affected.
Oh,
it's either they're having a similar scenario that has played out in my parents, going into separation, beating between husband and wife, and even my own case. Now, I do have a disability because I did not get a proper care as a result of fight and separation between them at a point. It affected my education and even growth generally. And it has a lot of effects down the line over time. It's not that my mom was someone who got custody of me and was able to at least send me to basic school, and in the end I was able to struggle to go to the university myself and all that. The effect would have even been more drastic. So the domestic violence does not just end at the level of the parents who are having the problem.
True.
It goes far, far down.
True.
That in the end, it might even trickle down to generations that are not at that level of parenting at that moment. In the end, children become like the parents that they lived with when domestic violence sets in.
Thank you, Anonymous. Thank you so much, Ms. Abiy. Let me get your reaction to the callers, the two calls.
Yeah, so these are the things that we're talking about, and that's why we want to be out on the 19th to expose all of these things. It's very dear. We can no longer condone what is happening to citizens, particularly families. I think the other caller, the lady, actually said the very fundamental steps that we needed to take to resolve these issues. Parenting. It's something that I've worked on for close to two decades now. I have a book that is almost out because I noticed that it is so foundational. I've been to schools, you know, talking to parents, and the very basics about parenting, the tendencies of a child, the challenges, the developmental processes of the child are not known to a lot of parents. And so we shout at everything, we flog everything. Even processes of development are seen as struggles of the child. They are being caned, they are being abused, they are being flogged. And you know what that means? How incremental damaging effect that will have on the child in terms of development, psychologically, educationally, and otherwise. Right. So going back to the other caller about domestic abuse and his impact, I mean, he said it right. He struck it very rightly because it affects the entire environment. The entire environment, the children yet unborn will have to bear the brunt of what happened. You see, they have narrated stories that touches the heart, but those are even little compared to other stories that we are confronted with. Right. So it's important that we begin to reorientate ourselves. We come to the realization, because most times we're in denial. Things are happening and we feel like, okay, you know what, it's going to get better. Okay, you know what, we bring in religion to it. We bring in tradition. We bring in all sort of assumptions to what is physical that we can address, right? So it's something that we need to tackle head on. It's something that we need to review our laws. For instance, we have the law that says within 77 hours, right, if an application through an affidavit is submitted to the court for an interim order,
right,
that order should be granted if the evidence suffices.
Right.
But that's not what we have. You can't have an interim order for protection for even a year.
Oh, my.
So this is ridiculous.
Oh my.
An emergency order, a protection order, ought to be immediate because you're trying to safeguard a situation. And most times in our cases, it's not even an attempt. There is already...
It's already happening. Life is already in danger.
You could even see the evidence, perhaps on the body.
And you now have to wait for a year before you can be granted the protection order.
Yeah. So I think that the bottom line is that we need to insist... Perhaps the leaders are taking these things for granted. They do not know the enormity of all of these things.
Yeah, yeah.
They need to realize that it is worse than what they can imagine.
It's even a tip of the iceberg, whatever they see in, in the courtroom or the law courts or the police. It's
that
a tip of the iceberg of what's actually happening.
Correct. So we need to quickly do
Let's talk solution. Before I come to Olumide and Mr. Adebayo and yourself, Mrs. Abiye, let's talk solution. But before we get there, let me read this message here. Very interesting. It says, this your program makes me remember the day my wife beat me and bites me all over my body. Then I go to the nearest police station to go and report. Then Nigerian police then ask me to sit down for like 4 hours and nobody attended to me. That is why I never agree when someone tells me police is your friend. This is someone who has been scarred, who has lost hope in the institution that is meant to protect him. Olumide, the solution. Let's start from you. I'll come to Mr. Adebayo. I'll come to you after Olumide. Then Mr. Abiye would wrap it up. What's the solution? I hear there is an awareness match.
Yes. You know, first of all, I would want to, when you're talking of solutions, I would want to commend you yourself in person because you brought me here.
Thank you.
Every Saturday we go on an awareness program called Relationship 360, awareness and knowledge. Education is the first step.
Right.
Second is the people in charge. You know, after the awareness comes, you cannot do it yourselves. The police, well, we, along with Mrs. Abiye, along with Mr. Bayo, and along with other branches of the Nigerian Bar Association, and, you know, victims, and, you know, anyone that wants to join, we have a protest coming. It's a demonstration, coming up on Wednesday. We have to go to the... We are, first of all, going to the office of the Commissioner of Police because over 30 deaths in March... In March alone. And you have these people, more than half of them already approached the police. And the police did not help. They send them back. It is a family matter. We are marching to the office of the Commissioner of Police 8 a.m. on Wednesday. We are going to gather at the bar center because there's a new Commissioner of Police and he's very proactive. I've seen the way he has been going around trying to... This, we need to tell him that police officers must be trained in handling domestic violence and abuse. Domestic violence is not a family matter. You cannot send people back to the abuser saying it is a family member. The police has to... You know, by the time they move, they don't need the victim to come and complain. We have to stop that. A victim that is unconscious, a victim that is in the hospital, a victim that is suffering from Stockholm syndrome, that already the self-esteem has been bruised, battered, and beaten, that they cannot talk. You don't need the victim to talk. The moment a report is being made, you don't ask them for mobilization. You know, that's one thing you go and make. They will say, for us to be, I have someone who... collector, he said, bring 20,000. I had to report to the DPO. The DPO made the policeman refund the 20. And these are part of the things that drive people away. Mm. I have to pay you to come, you know, and from the commissioner of police, we are going also to the governor in Alawusa, to the governor's office. We are going to the attorney general's office. We are also, yes, the chief justice, I mean, the chief judge. We're also going to the Speaker of the House this same Wednesday. They have to do something. We are burying our children. You know what happens, Sheriff?
Mm.
Their own sons will marry our own daughters. You think it is their problem? Wait till your daughter comes home with an offspring of this problem. And then you would know that trouble has come home to roost.
Now that you put it that way.
Yes, they think it is not happening. There was a lady I brought who was a deputy director in the federal ministry. She just buried, that was last year. She buried her, she couldn't believe it, that she also would have to bury her own daughter, just 41 years. It is coming home. And how long are we going to, when society scatters? When everybody is now self-helping, you think I would stand there and somebody would kill me? Me too. I would, you know, please join us. Everyone, I'm even using this to invite every media houses. Let them know that it is no longer a family matter.
It's a pandemic.
It is a pandemic. We can't turn our eyes.
Let me officially welcome Mrs. Oluwatoyin Didiojo, founder of the Abuse Against Children and Women Foundation.
Thank you.
She made it here finally against all odds.
In fact.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am so sorry for the trouble this morning.
That's one of the things with Lagos.
Yeah?
The perennial traffic.
Oh, my goodness me. I don't know if you've been following up on the conversation. We've been having this robust conversation. I have Mr. Adebayo over the telephone as well. But right now we're focusing on solution. You've been at the heart of this domestic violence, women, children. How bad is the situation?
When you say bad, I think I would want to tell you to re-choose your choice of word.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just bad, it's a disaster.
It's a disaster.
Yes. Unfortunately, we do not have enough statistics.
Yeah.
But World Health Organization says that we are burying 115 women every day as a result of domestic violence.
Globally.
Mm. And that is where there is statistics. Remember that most people here, especially in third world countries, do not have database, not to talk of knowing how many people go.
Most of these things even went unreported. Yeah.
If you say underreported, I'm not even reported at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a disaster, and unfortunately, we're sitting on a gun of
A
keg of gunpowder.
Yeah.
Because, like Olumide just finished saying, children are seeing this. Children in these abusive homes, they are seeing this, and they are thinking that is the way to go.
Hmm.
A lady told me that she grew up in a domestic abusive home, and she felt that a man beating a woman was normal.
Hmm.
And she was saying it with utmost sincerity.
Yeah.
So you now have this woman who believes that it is okay for her to be abused. Mm. And you have a man who grew up in this home and believes that it's okay for him to abuse his spouse. And then remember that these wives or these husbands who grew up in abusive home also abuse their children, because all they know is violence. Mm. And they think it's the way to go. I heard you talking about solution. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun.
Yes, let's do solution. We're there now. Let's do solution.
Solutions. I have been in the thick of this. And one of the major problems we have is that we do not have trained personnel.
Hmm.
Even those who are trained, a gender officer, it's very rare to see a passionate gender officer, because it is a department that doesn't have so much money.
Mm.
Now, when I say money in quotes, you should understand the Nigerian factor.
Mm.
So because most of the victims are women, children, vulnerables, so they do not have this money to hand out. So when you see passionate people who are ready to do this service, now you're taking them, they are trained. Remember that there's a lot of training going on, you know, by Spotlight Initiative, by UN Women, a lot of organizations.
Yeah.
We also do.
Yeah.
And then, after this whole training, because of administrative procedures, they are removed and put in traffic.
Oh.
What are they doing in traffic?
I get the problem now.
An essential manpower is being misused. In this is somebody who understands how to approach a gender issue, how to approach children and vulnerable, and you're putting him or her in traffic. His resources spent to train the person, the potential, the talents are all wasted. And then you see, because gender issues are something that are quite sensitive. It's not like a normal crime, because it's a crime that has to do with self-esteem. So a lot of people do not want to come out, and when they do come out and they have the courage to come out, and you now get to the counter. Normally, as gender specialists, as gender officers, we do not allow them to come to the counter. Normally, they're supposed to go straight to the FSU department, the gender department, or the JWC department, any of the department that is in that particular police station that covers gender issues. But they are made now, because there's no gender officer who is trained, they are made to go to the counter. And then you will hear something like, "Your mouth too much, self. That's why they beat you." And if it's a man, they'll tell you, a woman is beating you. You're a woman rapper. Do you understand me? But these are the issues. And then I have also said it categorically, that until we begin to have DPOs, I'm not just talking about the rank and file, because the head determines how the whole body will be. Until we begin to have DPOs who are gender specialists, gender trained, we keep on going round and round in circles. If a DPO is gender trained, even if the lower officers are not gender trained, you'll be able to put them through.
Right.
But when the lower officers are gender trained and they give a report and tell the DPO, "This is how to go about it," and the DPO say, "You can't teach me. I've been 35. I'm 35 years in this job. You can't be teaching me what I already know." You see where issues lies. I think it is categorical. It is imperative that DPOs, head of stations, be gender trained. Even commissioners, senior officers should be gender trained.
We need to place premium on gender matters when it comes to the
on
police.
On gender training,
Ms. Abie, let me come to you as to the awareness march. It's happening this Wednesday. Where is the takeoff point?
Yeah, the takeoff point is going to be at Ikeja by Center by the High Court. We'll take off from there. What we advise for those of us that live within the Ikeja access, you go to the Ikeja Bar Center, which is the lawyer's office in Ikeja. But if you stay around the Alausa access, we'll prefer that you stay just in front of the Ministry of Justice. There is a gate, the entrance gate to the Ministry of Justice. We're going to assemble there. So then we'll wait for people to join us from the Commissioner of Police office. So that's the way that we want to arrange it.
Olumide, any special addition to this?
Well, she said it all. We would gather first at the Commissioner of Police's office, at the Bar Center, to go to the Commissioner of Police office by 8:30. And immediately we are done there, we fall back to Alausa to join our colleagues there at by the Ministry of Justice. We are wearing a black top. On anything, you can just a black top, because it is a day of mourning. You know, Shiga report 4 years ago that annually we lose between 300 and 350 women to domestic violence and abuse. You know, Nigeria doesn't even know how many marriages happen in a local government, not to talk of the deaths. It's now NGOs that go around to start trying to count, to start trying to put a data face to the project. It's so many things happening that the government ought to know.
But
by the time we are no longer safe in our own homes, how can society be?
Let's do this. Because I have plenty of requests here trying to get in touch with the team. So what we're going to do is I'm going to allow you. You cannot give out contact of your organizations, but you can give out your personal social media contact. Do we have personal social media contact?
Yes, we do.
Like private social media contact. Ms. Abie, you're looking like you are not on social media.
not at all. I normally give even my direct line because...
that's fine. That's fine then.
That touches my heart.
That's fine then.
I'd like to hear from
them. Sure. You
can be of help.
You can do that. Yeah, absolutely. You can do that. Let's start with your own then. Let's start with yours. In case anybody wants to reach out to you.
Yeah, please. Just take down my number. 070 660 0703 729 23.
Can you take that
one
again?
One more time.
070.
Okay, we have to be fast now.
660 329 23.
Okay, Olumide, yes. Quickly.
0909 3214 942. 0909 3214 942.
Is it what I mean?
All right, 0708044 1101. I take it again, 0708044 1101.
Gentlemen, well, Mr. Adebayo has left, so gentlemen, Olumide, thank you so much for coming. Ladies, ladies, thank you so much for coming around. Lagos, let's support this team. Let's all get together and eradicate domestic violence in our community. I think we're better than that, and we should be able to, you know, show the world that we're better than that. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Many thanks to Zainab, who produced the show. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Bye for now.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not